Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. We've got a good show for you today. Coming up later on in the program, we'll have a review of the new film Hereafter, directed by Clint Eastwood and starring Matt Damon. And right now, on the musical portion of the program, we're actually going to be paying homage to Mr. Damon by spotlighting a number of musical selections from films throughout his career. And we're going to begin by going back to the mid-1990s and an impressive film that Damon appeared in called Courage Under Fire, directed by Ed Zwick and featuring a score by James Horner. Take a listen. That's music from Courage Under Fire, written by James Horner. Next up, we move along to 1997 and the John Grisham drama The Rainmaker, featuring a score by Elmer Bernstein. Enjoy. That's music for The Rainmaker by legendary composer Elmer Bernstein. Damon made a big impression in a small part playing the title role in Saving Private Ryan, directed by Steven Spielberg. That featured an atypically subdued score by composer John Williams. Let's take a listen to a selection from it now. That's music written for the film Saving Private Ryan by composer John Williams. Next up, a lovely selection for a so-so movie starring Matt Damon and Will Smith. That would be the golfing drama The Legend of Bagger Vance. Take a listen to this.
Thank you.
That's Rachel Portman's music for The Legend of Bagger Vance. Next up, we offer a selection from Marty Stewart's wonderful score for the film All the Pretty Horses, based on the novel by Cormac McCarthy. Take a listen.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. We're spotlighting music from the career of actor Matt Damon on the program today. And Damon is probably still best known for playing the role of Jason Bourne in the trilogy of Bourne movies, the first directed by Doug Liman, the next two directed by Paul Greengrass. And we're going to be featuring music from the latter two films in that trilogy, The Bourne Supremacy and The Bourne Ultimatum, featuring music by John Powell. Take a listen.
Thank you.
That's music from The Bourne Supremacy and The Bourne Ultimatum by John Powell. Next up, we offer a colorful selection from Dario Marianelli, written for Terry Gilliam's film The Brothers Grimm, in which Damon co-starred with Heath Ledger. Take a listen.
Thank you.
That's music from The Brothers Grimm by composer Dario Marianelli. In just a few minutes, we're going to review the new Clint Eastwood film Hereafter, starring Matt Damon. But before that, we're going to feature music from Eastwood's previous film, which also starred Damon. That movie was Invictus. And while Eastwood traditionally composes his own scores these days, in this case, he got his son Kyle Eastwood and Michael Stevens to write the music. So let's take a listen now to this selection from Invictus. That's music from Invictus by Kyle Eastwood and Michael Stevens. And right now it's time for my review of the film Hereafter. For director Clint Eastwood and writer Peter Morgan, Hereafter represents a surprising change of pace. Eastwood has traditionally steered clear of fantasy, while Morgan's filmography is dominated by talky, witty political dramas like The Queen and Frost Nixon. Though it feels a bit different from anything either man has done before, particularly Morgan, Hereafter is a quietly moving film. The film tells the story of three different individuals living in different parts of the world. The first is Marie, played by Cécile de France, an esteemed French reporter who is nearly killed on her vacation when a tidal wave strikes. The near-death experience affects Marie in a strange way, as she's certain she witnessed a glimpse of the afterlife during the brief time in which she was unconscious. The second person is George, played by Matt Damon, a man who just so happens to have psychic powers. He uses these powers to make a living, or at least he did in the past, but he retired after the burden of dealing with the pain of others became too much for him to handle. These days he works at a factory in San Francisco and takes cooking lessons at night. In his cooking class he meets a girl named Melanie, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, who seems to have eyes for him. George likes her, but wonders whether a normal relationship is even possible given his psychic abilities. Finally, we meet Marcus, a 12-year-old British boy attempting to cope with the death of his twin brother Jason. After his mother is forced into rehab, Marcus is placed in a foster home and forced to start a new life. Determined to make contact with his brother from beyond the grave, Marcus runs away and visits a series of psychics, hoping one of them will be able to help him make contact. Frankie and George McLaren take turns playing each of the brothers. I'm in a bit of a dilemma. I want to recommend Hereafter and tell you it's a rewarding experience, but I've just witnessed a good deal of evidence to the contrary. About 30 minutes into the film, the two elderly women sitting next to me got up and left. "This is one of the most boring movies I've ever seen," one of them complained. Okay, so they didn't like it. Every film has its detractors, I guess. Two more people fell asleep during the movie, snoring loudly at times. Finally, when the film ended, the majority of the audience let forth a general burst of displeasure. "Well, I wasted my $7," one man said. "You got that right," another person laughed. "That was so stupid," another pitched in. "I can't believe Clint Eastwood made that crap." And yet there I sat, watching the end credits and reflecting on how much the film had moved me. Hereafter is being promoted as some sort of supernatural thriller starring Matt Damon, when in fact it's a subdued drama with an ensemble cast that includes Matt Damon. What matters is that it's a good film, a drama that tackles the realm of the supernatural in an intelligent and thoughtful manner. The only thing it requires you to accept is that George is a real psychic with a real gift for helping people make connections with lost loved ones. Everything else will be informed by what you bring to the table beforehand. Obviously, the world is full of many different religions and belief systems with a wide variety of views on what, if anything, awaits us beyond the grave. Regardless of other religious specificities, the idea that there is still some form of life after we pass on is universal. It's been said that if there were no afterlife, humanity would need to invent one. Likewise, if there is no afterlife, humanity has invented one. It dulls the ache of losing a loved one to think that they're still out there somewhere, in a peaceful place free of pain. Hereafter is not out to declare that there is an afterlife that we can all look forward to. What visions of it we do see are purposefully nondescript, but rather to explore humanity's fundamental need for its existence through the lives of three people. All three of the film's central characters have a particular interest in what happens after we die. George seems to witness the afterlife through other people, Marie seems to have been there, and Marcus desperately wants to know if it even exists. All of their stories are affecting in different ways, as Eastwood and Morgan explore heartache from a series of compelling angles. George's story in particular plays like a superhero tale too melancholy for comic books, as his psychic abilities, only activated when he touches someone else, have historically destroyed his attempts at personal relationships. The film offers three intersecting stories, but they collide in a manner that's refreshingly natural and low-key, as opposed to the Rube Goldberg-esque mechanics of something like Crash or Babel. Morgan's writing is full of buried feelings and unspoken sentiments, while Eastwood's direction has rarely been so graceful. Recall his work in The Bridges of Madison County, and you'll have an idea of the lovely tone he attains in this film. I suppose its subdued poetic nature will disappoint those looking for something sensationalistic. I don't know what the people at my screening thought they were getting, but they definitely didn't get it. but I urge you to set aside any false expectations and simply accept the film for what it is. Hereafter is worth the effort. I give it a rating of 3.5 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. In the meantime, here's Leon Russell and Elton John to take us out. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
I knew from the first night I met you, something just wasn't quite right. Looked like an innocent stranger, but something was just out of sight. How could I know that you would use me, fill out some plan of your own? I couldn't. If it wasn't for bad, you'd be good. If it wasn't